Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Jim, I don't know what to think. Two dominant performances. Last night, the Timberwolves just slapped the Nuggets around for the most part. Nuggets hung with them for like 10 minutes, and then it was over after that. Pretty dominant performance.
Yeah, completely dominant, and without Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised they won. I'm shocked that they just destroyed the Nuggets and took every shred of dignity from them. This is an embarrassment. The Nuggets have to be absolutely reeling. They lost two games at home to a team that they thought they were superior to, and they couldn't compete in the second game. Entire second half was garbage time.
Yeah.
I mean, they ended the game at halftime, and they did it methodically. They played to their strengths. I mean, the defense is just incredible. And I think we can go back now and realize that what we saw against the Phoenix Suns was them throttling a good offensive team, not the Suns just being, you know, inept. I mean, the Wolves just make you look inept.
Yeah, no doubt. And it got to the Nuggets. They were melting down. Mike Malone storms the court and the official and does everything but chew on the end of his nose and somehow doesn't get a technical when he's all the way across the floor. They just had a meltdown.
I thought the two key moments for the Nuggets last night were Malone, who's a very good guy and a very good coach, and usually controls himself pretty well, running out there like, you know, if you don't give us these calls, we have no chance to win this game. I mean, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And then Jamal Murray, you know, whining the entire game, but then throwing a heat pack on the court.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. That's way over the line. He also made a gesture that looked like he was signaling, okay, you guys are on, the officials are on the take. Yeah, that's the way it works. The NBA wants Minnesota to be in the finals.
Exactly.
They lost their minds. And they lost their minds because they couldn't function at all against this defense.
The Wolves have long, athletic defenders all around the perimeter, and that was able to make up for the loss of Rudy Gobert inside. But Karl-Anthony Towns' defense now is so much better than it was before Gobert and even before Finch actually arrived.
Yes, two big developments. Towns' defense has improved dramatically in the last year, and he also looks completely comfortable in big games. Didn't have Gobert last night, so Edwards and Towns go, and really Towns got him rolling. Towns is their dominant player in the first quarter because Edwards usually defers in the first quarter. Towns has lit him up, you know, while playing really good defense against Jokic and while not getting in foul trouble and while not getting any technical fouls while the other team is melting down.
And, we mentioned that there was the meltdown going on, too, and the throwing of the – is that going to lead to a suspension for Murray, do you think, Jamal Murray? And if not, should it?
It absolutely should. It's a dangerous play. It's one thing to argue and complain and whine and throw your hands around.
Yeah.
It doesn't really hurt anybody. It might even hurt you more than it hurts anybody else. You throw something on the court. I mean, a fan would be ejected and told to never come back. You throw something on the court. I mean, Jokic or Karl-Anthony Towns or anybody else could have stepped on that and slipped and hurt themselves and been out the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So the indication we got from reporters on the scene last night was that the officials were downplaying it after the game in their comments. But, you know, there are some national reporters today saying they do think that the NBA will take another look at it and that a suspension is possible. I would argue that a suspension should be automatic for that.
Yes, throwing objects onto the floor. And it was just a disgusted toss by him, too, like you described. He's basically saying the officials want the Timberwolves to win, and that certainly wasn't going on. The Wolves have battled with their own share of that at times in the past, too, but another dominant win. So two games to none. How about the flip-flop of our friend Charles Barkley on the
yep.
He says, it's over. This is over. They're going to sweep the Nuggets. That might be a little ebullient, but, boy, I'd say there's certainly a better chance that it's a Wolves sweep than the Nuggets rallying to win the series.
Yeah, I think it's – I really expect it's a Wolves sweep at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be a gentleman's sweep. Maybe the Nuggets have one good game in them and can steal one. I think the Wolves are going to win the series easily. I think it's over. Barkley's been wrong about this Timberwolves group for
a long
time.
Yep.
I give him credit for for not trying to hang on to old thoughts. He's absolutely right. And listen, he wasn't the only one. A lot of people didn't think the Gobert trade was good, and they gave up on it after a year. I always thought it had a chance to. What I kept on saying, including to you, was, don't tell me the Gobert trade didn't work until you actually see Towns and Gobert playing together for a significant amount of time after they get used to each other. Let it play out, you know? And so many people wanted to say that the trade was a failure and that Towns needed to go, and those things I thought were just ludicrous.
And a lot of those people were saying that before they'd even played a game, before anything had happened. So then a lot of it is, I want to be right bias. So then they kind of stick with that point a little long, it seems. And the Twins...
And to be fair, we're all, everybody is in the opinion-making and speaking business.
Sure.
We get wrong. We're wrong. Nobody's right all the time. So, again, I appreciate Charles just kind of, dealing with the new reality.
Yeah, how could you not with that smothering defense? That was crazy. Twins, no losing streak on the heels of a win streak. They pick up another win last night. And Simeon Woods-Richardson, while he doesn't throw incredibly hard, it seems like his fastball at times has a little bit of that invisibility to it.
He has some life in it, and he also recognized, and it was such a hard thing to get young pitchers to accept, that throwing your best pitch over the plate for strike one is the best way you can give yourself a chance to win. Mm-hmm. And now, to his credit, he also finished at bats off of that fastball. He threw his fastball really well with two strike counts, commanded it, put it on the corners. But I thought just young pitchers' willingness and ability to throw strike one, to get ahead, to put the hitters on the defensive, it's so hard to get a lot of young pitchers to do that. Mm-hmm. Very impressive. And, what I'm hearing over there is that they aren't going to spend any money this year. So it's not like midseason they're going to go get some expensive pitcher. They really need somebody like Simeon Woods-Richardson seizing that fifth spot in the rotation, if he can continue to do it, might be one of the major developments for this team all season.
No doubt. Now, he came over, was he in the Barrios trade? How did we get him?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he was from the Jays along with Austin Martin. And both of them had, Austin Martin had injuries and had some bad seasons. Simeon really has never pitched very well in the minor leagues. But they're both, you see what they liked about him. Martin is very athletic, very versatile. I think he's eventually going to hit. He's not quite there yet. And Simeon Woods-Richardson is a better major league pitcher than a minor league pitcher. He's one of those guys who just seems to, whether it's the atmosphere or the level of competition or the fact that, minor league hitters don't really think a lot. You can't really win a battle of wits if people aren't thinking. Sometimes your smart pitchers are better pitching against smart hitters. So you can kind of figure out patterns. I don't know what it is, but he looks the part.
No doubt about that. And it's strange. And sometimes we've seen it the other way, where a guy is just a stud at AAA, but can't do anything in the major leagues. They call them quadruple-A players a lot. It doesn't happen as often when they're better in the big leagues than they were in the minor leagues, but I'll take it.
Yeah, it doesn't always happen. You're absolutely right, but he's starting to, he's building a resume now, and again, there's nothing flukish about it. The two most important pitches for a pitcher are strike one and how do you finish off a hitter, whether it's getting a strikeout or just getting hit the ball weakly. And yesterday he really excelled in both situations, throwing strike one and then finishing hitters off.
The PWHL, Professional Women's Hockey League, entering their first postseason. Minnesota, of course, has a team in that league. The playoffs upcoming. How has the year gone for them, Jim? I haven't paid enough attention.
They've been good. They were in first place for a little bit. I think they ended up just being good enough to make the playoffs. Natalie Darwitz is the GM. She got that job late, and she's very highly well-respected. We've had her as a guest on the Dawn of Sports podcast with Don Mitchell on our TalkNorth.com podcast network. Mm-hmm. So it's a very likable group, and, there have been two stories like this. It was like the previous women's professional hockey team. They played in Tria Rink. They drew, hundreds of people, maybe 1,000 people when they were playing for a championship. And they were good, but everything just felt small. And that's one of the barriers for a startup, right, is feeling like you're a big league team. And this, the Minnesota Aurora getting to play in the 5,000-seat football stadium at TCO Performance Center, the Vikings facility, just helped them launch themselves to a level that nobody really expected. And I think the PWHL getting to play their games in XL, having it feel big league, having people want to take their kids to the XL Energy Center to watch professional women's hockey.
Yeah.
On top of all the things they've done well, in developing a team and developing a league, I think that has really helped them out.
Terrific. And then on into the playoffs. Now, Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan. Brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.